Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Thrilled to have on the phone with me now Governor Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Cheryl, I'm great, and it's good to be in Michigan.
A little colder than some of the climes you're used to and the temperatures you're used to, but we had some sunshine today for you. I hope that was welcoming.
Well, and you know, New Mexico, I live just north of Taos. I live there because skiing is as good as anywhere on the planet, and that's my passion, and it gets cold in Taos.
It does. And you've got snow in the upper regions. I know that for sure. You're here in our part of the country to give a speech this evening at Kedzie Hall on MSU campus. You're speaking to the MSU College Libertarians and Young Americans for Liberty. What's the reason for your visit to MSU?
You know, Cheryl, over the last 15 months, I have started up Our America Initiative, which is an advocacy committee. I'm the honorary chairman, which allows me to raise money, speak out on the issues of the day. I get to be a political activist. So my political activism is about spreading a word of liberty and freedom. And in that context, recognizing the biggest problem that's facing this country right now, and that is the fact that we're bankrupt. We're bankrupt, and how do we fix that? Well, I would argue that we need to balance the federal budget tomorrow. That wouldn't be cutting $30 billion from this year's budget or $200 billion from next year's budget. That would be $1.6 trillion, which I'm an optimist. I think this country is optimistic. We went to the moon. I think we're on the verge of a financial collapse unless we actually fix what's wrong in this country, and we can do it. But we've got to have the will to do it now.
Well, and you did do that in the state of New Mexico. You were a two-term governor there, and when you left, there was a $1 billion budget surplus, if my information is correct. So this isn't a task you haven't taken on before at a level.
Well, and I think it's important to point out that all the states right now, all across the country, are, of course, having to deal with revenue shortfalls and balancing their books. I really am outraged over the fact that the federal government continues to print money rather than deal with the problems that that we all have as a result of being part of the United States of America. I think as a result of printing this money, our dollars are being devalued constantly, and as a result of printing all this money, we're going to end up with a situation where we will have a financial collapse. The Federal Reserve right now is buying up our own debt. This is unprecedented, and the result of this is going to be, I think it'll be a catastrophe. Life as we know it will be a lot different when the Social Security checks we receive don't buy anything. And that would be the result of the inflation that's going to ensue as a result of all this money being printed.
I couldn't help but think, sir, when I knew I was going to speak with you today, of what you thought of the situation here in Michigan. You were an extraordinarily successful businessman before you became governor. We have now Governor Rick Snyder, a Republican, an extraordinarily successful businessman before he became governor, and he's tackling some very difficult issues here in the state of Michigan. What's your take on what you know of what's happening here?
Well, I've been to Michigan a couple of occasions now, and I don't presume to have the answers for Michigan, but when asked, I just thought, given Detroit, for example, and the vacancies that are so well publicized all across the country, and the decline of Detroit that is so well publicized all across the country, it seems to me that. You know, if you were to set Detroit up as an enterprise zone where no taxes were implemented on a statewide basis, and then just stand back, so that would be a situation of really getting the government completely out of Detroit. I think you could argue that you would see a resurgence in Detroit that perhaps might not be rivaled anywhere else in the whole country. That's just looking at it from the outside, and the whole notion that I think government ends up to be responsible for these downturns well-intended meaningful legislation that just ends up having unintended results, and the unintended results are economies that can't thrive under a regulatory and taxation environment that's too great.
Well, limited government has always been your philosophy. Am I correct in that?
Yes, that's correct.
And one of the quotes, go ahead.
Well, this is a country where, those that are absolutely making the most in this country, those that are absolutely making the least, this is a country where you can go from making nothing, from having nothing, to having everything. That's this country. This is also the country where you can have everything, and because you risk everything, you can lose everything tomorrow. But we're a country that also has a government that tries to legislate and protect those at the top, and really legislate those at the bottom from having an equal footing to try and get to the top. And it's all done under the notion of opposites, meaning we should take away from those that have and give it to those that don't, as opposed to legislation creating an environment where you can get to the top and creating an environment where if you lose, you lose.
Well, one of the things that I'm curious about also, you were well known to have worked on legislation to decriminalize marijuana. We're a state that has made the use of medical marijuana legal, and boy, it's causing problems. And the waters are muddy because the legislation is placed, but it hasn't been made clear for folks in local municipalities how to work through it. Are you familiar at all with what we have going on here in Michigan with that?
You know, I think that Michigan is indicative of a lot of states when it comes to trying to implement medical marijuana. I've espoused since 1999 legalizing marijuana. And when I say legalize marijuana, control it, regulate it, tax it, recognizing that half of what we spend on law enforcement, the courts, and the prisons is drug-related. What are we getting for all that money that we're spending? Well, we're arresting 1.8 million people a year in this country. We now have 2.3 million people behind bars. I've looked at this issue, Cheryl, and for those listening who haven't looked at it, I just ask you to really look at the issue, see if you don't come to the same conclusion that I have, and that is that 90% of the drug problem is prohibition-related, not use-related. And that's not to discount the problems with use and abuse, but that ought to be the focus. So when I say legalize marijuana, control it, regulate it, tax it, it's never going to be legal to smoke pot, become impaired, do harm to others, get behind the wheel of a car, and it's never going to be legal for kids to smoke pot or buy pot. And what we need to understand is if you legalize marijuana, you know what? I think it would be a lot harder for kids to get a hold of marijuana because they'd have to produce an ID in a controlled environment to be able to buy it, similar to alcohol. We prohibited alcohol. Who got rich? Mafia got rich. What did we end up doing? We ended up criminalizing behavior that tens of millions of Americans took part in all the time, similar to marijuana today.
And that isn't to look away. Of course, part of what the legislation that you worked on, or the movement you worked on, was to also concentrate on harm reduction measures for other illegal drugs at the same time.
Exactly, and harm reduction strategies, reducing the things that we really care about: death, disease, crime, corruption. If we had more time, we could talk about all those things. But in a nutshell, looking at the drug problem first as a health issue, rather than a criminal justice issue. We are talking about our moms, our dads, our kids, our business associates, you know, all the people we associate, people in those groups, smoke marijuana. They might be making wrong choices, but they're not criminals.
And I can't let you go, Governor, without a final question to you. It, of course, has been talked about that you might be running for president in the 2012 election.
Well, as part of, Cheryl, as part of my 501c4, Our America Initiative, and I would love for those listening to get online, OurAmericaInitiative.com, but this initiative, of which I'm the honorary chairman, I cannot talk about running for political office. So sorry for the dodge, but I don't want to get sideways with the Federal Elections Commission.
And I don't want to be the one responsible for doing that, but you understand I was doing my job to ask you, sir.
Very good.
And I am on that website right now looking at the page. A lot of very interesting information here for people who are interested to go there. Again, it's Our America Initiative. I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you so much.
Great, Cheryl. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Former Governor Gary Johnson of New Mexico here in East Lansing this evening. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.